Our scripture today comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 7 through 21. When you are praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then in this way: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. For you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And whenever you fast, do not look dismal, like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so as to others that they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, your heart will be there also.
About 6 years ago, a wonderful movie called Slumdog Millionaire came out. Do you remember the movie? Did any of y'all see it? It was a great movie. Two young actors in that movie, Azharuddin Ismail and Rabina Ali, were 10 years old and 9 years old when the movie was made. They got to have the trip of the lifetime when the Academy Awards were given that year. They came to the United States to attend the ceremony. They got to come to Hollywood, walk the red carpet at the Academy Awards. They saw gorgeous gowns, incredible jewelry, beautiful people, paparazzi, limousines, glorious food, bands, dancing, famous people. They got to see it all. They had a busy week leading up to their arrival in the United States. There was a frenzied scramble to get visas and tickets because some of their family decided at the last minute they were going to. Rabina traveled with her uncle, and Azhar traveled with his mother. This was a big time. They were coming to the United States. Rabina packed all of her new clothes, 2 pairs of jeans, 2 tops, and a white shoes. Her cousin painted fresh swirls of henna on her arms. Azhar shared with reporters that he felt very, 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 very good. Before they left for the United States, they traveled around Mumbai doing last-minute shopping. They traveled in an air-conditioned Toyota. Not just any air-conditioned Toyota. This one had leather seats. They told the reporters that they had visited a local counseling center for advice on how not to get sick on an airplane or travel outside of United States, how to handle themselves in the United States because they'd never traveled outside of India. They really didn't know much about Hollywood either. Azhar did not know the name of a single Hollywood star that he would really like to meet. But then they were the big stars in India, in Bollywood. And that was the life they were leading, movie star lives. How many movie stars, even at age 9, when they pack their new clothes to go to the Oscars, pack 2 pairs of jeans, 2 tops, and white shoes? Granted, they were not going to be here very long, and Rabina wanted to buy her Oscar night outfit in L.A., so jeans are really all she needs by then. How many movie stars, even at age 10, are thrilled about riding in an air-conditioned Toyota, one with leather seats? Azhar was so excited before he left India, a reporter talked to him at his house in India, a scruffy lean-to of tarps and blankets. While Azhar and Rabina were shopping and riding around in the air-conditioned Toyota, the goats in their neighborhood picked over piles of trash, and the rest of the slum hummed with the noises of the very poor trying to get through the day. And Jesus says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven, and neither moth nor rust consume and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, your heart will be also." Where is our treasure? Is it with the things that can rust, be eaten by moths, or material items that thieves want to break into our homes and steal? Red carpet, gorgeous gowns, incredible jewelry, beautiful people, paparazzi, limousines, glorious food. To two children from the slums of Mumbai, it could appear that is our treasure. This text in Matthew haunts me, and it always takes me to the slums. I've been to the slums of Nicaragua, Honduras, Matamoros, Mexico, Bosnia, Kenya, Monterrey, Mexico, Costa Rica, Ecuador, Hattiesburg, Mississippi, Atlanta, Georgia, Fort Worth, Texas. And yes, there are slums in the Twin Cities. I have seen with my own eyes people, families, children who literally live in the garbage dumps of Nicaragua, Honduras, Costa Rica, Monterrey, Ecuador, and Matamoros, like where Rabina and Azhar live. My goodness, we would never allow anyone to actually live in the garbage dumps in Mississippi, Georgia, Texas, or Minnesota. But we allow people to live in extreme poverty that might as well be a garbage dump. Where is our treasure? If we are like two children who got to experience the glitz and glamour of Hollywood, our treasure is in a tarp and a blanket so that we have shelter. If we are like the incredible number of people around the world who live in and on garbage dumps, our treasure is whatever we can dig out of other people's garbage so that we might have life. After all, one person's garbage is another person's treasure, literally. If we are like most of us in this most affluent country in the world, we treasure our stuff. It's true. Yes, we treasure our families, our friends, our pets, etc. But we do treasure our stuff, too. And because of that, I was so bothered by the experience that Azhar and Rabina had when they came to this land of plenty. They experienced a world of make-believe. Coming from the slums of India, remember Azhar's house of tarp and blanket, and suddenly finding yourself standing next to movie stars whose clothes cost more money than your parents ever dreamed existed. Excited because you get to ride around in an air-conditioned car and suddenly arriving at a theater in a limousine. Now, don't get me wrong. I was thrilled beyond belief that the children got to have that experience. They had the time of their lives in Hollywood. Then they boarded a plane and headed back to India. When they arrived at their homes, when they walked back into a space covered with a tarp and blanket, they suddenly knew the truth that the world is filled with the haves and the have-nots. I did not want them to know that. Do not store up treasures on earth. Store up treasure in heaven, for where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. Where is your heart? It is so easy for us to say what we treasure, right? I treasure my family. I treasure my friends. I treasure that we all have food, shelter, water, clean and adequate food, shelter, and water. But where are our hearts really? This is the harder question. It is harder because it requires us to search our hearts and not just give lip service to the treasure question. Maybe that is why Jesus said for us to not heap flowery phrases in our prayers in an attempt to manipulate God. Maybe that is why Jesus said for us to not announce if we are fasting by showing our weary faces as if it is a badge of honor so that all may see. Jesus calls us away from lip service and prayers for show, or making rituals our way of showing the world how pious we are, because God wants our hearts, not just words and actions. Maybe that's why Jesus gave us a prayer to pray. A prayer that if we really pray this prayer, our hearts will be centered in God. A prayer where we pray to our Creator and ask for God to let the world know who you are, God, and come and set your people free here on earth as only you can do. Give us, your creatures, what we need for today, just today. Forgive us our sins, and out of your humbling forgiveness and grace and mercy, we pray we will have the hearts to forgive those who have sinned against us. And God, please don't allow temptation to harm us or divide us. Where are our hearts? That prayer is all nice and all that. I mean, we pray it weekly. Every Sunday during worship, some of us have done that our whole lives. But where are our hearts? Does Jesus really expect us to care about two children who live in a slum in India? Isn't that India's problem? There isn't a whole lot that we can do for the least of these, the untouchables, the poorest of the poor, who live in a slum in India. After all, India has a legacy of the caste system, and that is just the way it is. All right, if that's our out, what about the people who live in garbage dumps and slums in countries where there isn't a caste system? What about the poorest of the poor right here in the Twin Cities? See, this is the whole problem with searching our hearts and being disciples of Jesus Christ and praying as Jesus taught us to pray. It's also the problem with the whole Gospel of Matthew. This is the gospel in which Jesus says that the Son of Man will separate people one from the other as shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. Sheep will be on the right and goats on the left. To those on the right whose hearts are with the sheep, Jesus says, "Inherit the kingdom prepared for you. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me. Just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me." The goats? They didn't fare so well. Are our hearts with the sheep or the goats? Do we really want God's will to fill our lives as we pray in the Lord's Prayer every Sunday? God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven? Are our hearts with God? Are they with our material items? There are parts of my heart that are in the garbage dumps of Nicaragua, Honduras, Mexico, Costa Rica, and Ecuador. There are also parts of my heart in the killing fields of Bosnia and the orphanages of Kenya. There are also parts of my heart that are with my family, friends, every church I have served, and right here with this incredible congregation. And there are big chunks of my heart tied up in every material item I own. And Jesus says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. And neither moth nor rust consume and where thieves do not break in and steal, for where your treasure is, your heart will be also." Where is my heart? Where is your heart? God already knows. May we give our hearts to God and live out the words we pray every week. For God gives us what we need. There is plenty for all, even for two children from the slums of India. In fact, there's enough in this world for all the children in all the slums and garbage dumps around the world. May God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.